On To The Point, we try to make sense of the policy debates and the political sideshows on the campaign trail.
Ted Cruz wrapping the bacon around the semi-automatic weapon to cook it.
I understand that trade is not a sexy issue.
Nobody knows where the Republican Party is going to land. I mean, it's kind of like a country road. No one knows where it will end.
In many ways, Marco Rubio is the Michael Jordan of American politics.
I'm Warren Olney. To The Point has you covered for the 2016 campaign. Find the To The Point podcast on KCRW's iTunes page.
Hi, I'm Frances Anderton, and this is DNA. Can you create affordable housing by building luxury towers?
They're not building for the people who live here. It's a greed-driven system. They don't care about the people who live here.
Today on DNA, a boom in development of large apartment buildings has prompted a fight for a two-year moratorium on new projects that don't comply with the city's zoning codes. But planners say this moratorium will stymie efforts to create much-needed affordable housing.
I don't think anyone disputes that the LA planning process needs to be updated. But rolling it back to the 1950s plan for Los Angeles is going to have unintended consequences that are going to destroy Los Angeles.
In a moment, we'll go to the heart of the fight, Hollywood. But we'll start with a visit to Koreatown, specifically to a site at the corner of 8th and Catalina, next to a liquor store on one side and a low-rise apartment building on the other.
We're standing right here in front of the Catalina Project, where they're trying to approve a luxury apartment complex.
Grace Yu is a community organizer and attorney in Koreatown, and she's telling reporters at a Korean language press conference about a development that she and others are fighting.
It was unanimous.
Grace Yu is part of the Coalition to Preserve LA. Jill Stewart is its campaign director. She points to a tall, spindly tree on the sidewalk by the site.
This palm tree right here, that really tall palm tree there, we calculate it to be about 6 stories high. The building they want to build is 27 stories high. It's New York City right here in Koreatown. We're calling it blockbusting by the 3%ers, the rich trying to push out the regular people, and it's wrong, and it's not allowed by the zoning.
Jill Stewart and her coalition are pushing for a two-year moratorium on all development that doesn't comply with LA's general plan. That's the overall planning blueprint for the city. The initiative would forbid the city council from granting case-by-case plan amendments, also known as spot zoning. Opponents of the moratorium say such amendments are essential for achieving developments better suited to now than to 1946, when the general plan was created.
And one of the reasons that the Neighborhood Integrity Initiative is fighting things like this is it absolutely goes against every single zoning rule on the books for this corner of land. And the Planning Commission said, no, this is a terrible idea. This is a wildly inappropriate project. They were overridden by the mayor, who kept pushing it back in front of the city council. So it's back in the pipeline. The city council is thinking of approving it. It has a long and fairly sordid history about the persistence of money. The developer has given $1.25 million to various pet projects of the mayor and the city councilman in this district. And the way we figure it, $1.25 million, if you were to make it into affordable housing, works out to about maybe 3 or 4 units total of affordable housing. Chump change compared to the fact that this man who's doing this wants this skyscraper is going to make tens of millions of dollars by our calculations on profit by doing what we call land flipping, where the land is really only worth X, but if you give it a false new zoning category that it shouldn't have, you can become a multi-millionaire very fast.
Mike Hakim is the Beverly Hills-based developer behind the project. We asked Mike to talk to us and he declined. But what we know is that he wants to build 270 apartments. That's about twice as many units as the existing planning rules allow on the property. He sought a zoning change and an amendment to the general plan to redesignate his property as a regional center, which city planners describe as a place with major public transit options and a significant number of jobs and many non-work destinations. Grace, you mocks that idea.
You notice we're on a side residential street? There is no way this street qualifies for regional center.
As Jill Stewart mentioned, the city's 9-member planning commission, which had been appointed by Mayor Eric Garcetti, rejected the apartment project, saying it was too big for the surrounding neighbourhood. But then the mayor surprised people by throwing his support behind the general plan amendment. According to the mayor's office, he did so because he saw it as a way to bring much-needed housing to an area where it makes sense. The project is still pending, but it is anger at projects like this that has fueled the effort to get the Neighbourhood Integrity Initiative on the November ballot. Signatures are still being gathered. And critics say that while the problem is real, this is not the right solution. Dana Cuff teaches urban planning at City Lab at UCLA.
I think people are right, actually. The way the variance process has worked hasn't been appropriate, really. And it's given priority to projects that didn't have community interests. Developers have run the city for decades in many ways because we had such a weak planning culture here. But I don't think that means that the answer is to abandon planning and design in favor of just voting to stop what really we need to think more carefully about how to move forward with, not to stop altogether.
This is a cure that's worse than the disease. It's a problem in search of a solution.
Mike Shimpok heads the Coalition to Protect Los Angeles Neighborhoods and Jobs, which was formed to oppose the moratorium.
I don't think anyone disputes that the LA planning process needs to be updated. But rolling it back to the 1950s plan for Los Angeles is going to have unintended consequences that are going to destroy Los Angeles. It's going to send rent skyrocketing. It's going to destroy jobs. It's going to make it impossible to deal with the homeless crisis that's facing the city of Los Angeles. Some estimates that we are 400,000 units behind in affordable housing. We have a deficit of nearly 500,000 affordable housing units. By putting a moratorium on building any new housing, that crisis will only get worse. And it will only eliminate affordable housing for people that are still paying market rate, because the law of supply and demand itself will cause, if there's a limited supply of housing in the city of Los Angeles, the prices will go up and people will be priced out of places that they can afford right now.
But those who stand to benefit from newly built affordable housing don't necessarily agree with Mike Shimpok's coalition. One Koreatown resident who also opposes the high-rise apartment tower is Aura Vasquez. She's vice president of the Wilshire Center Koreatown Neighborhood Council.
I think what we're trying to advocate for is more responsible development. Development that also brings something back to this community, not just developers that maybe don't understand the culture or don't understand the spirit of this community, the personality of this community. So what we advocate for is exactly that. We do want the jobs here. We, of course, want our city to prosper, but we don't want it at the expense of other people that are already vulnerable, that are already struggling. We should be all helping each other and helping each other thrive.
Aura Vasquez is joined by Grace Yu.
We're not against development. We're against inappropriate development. We are against kicking people out and making them homeless, seriously. If you're living in an $800, $900 unit, you're not going to be able to afford a $2,400 unit. It just doesn't happen. Someone from our UN for LA, United Neighborhoods for Los Angeles, said it best. She said, "Our building more Ferraris does not decrease the price of the Honda Civic."
Mayor Garcetti is looking to build 100,000 new housing units in the next 5 years. And to make some of them affordable, the city's looking at tools like the Affordable Housing Linkage Fee, which would charge developers a fee on market-rate housing projects to be spent on building affordable housing units. The Department of City Planning is also working on something called Recode LA, which would revise LA's outdated zoning code. Kevin Keller is planning director for the city.
The city does have a comprehensive zoning code. In many ways, it dates back to 1946, so it certainly is overdue for an update. And the RECODE effort is a parallel process with community outreach to really re-envision the way the city's zoning code can best contribute to a modern city in Los Angeles. And eventually, those new zoning tools that will be developed will be available to help guide development across the city. Perhaps better design guidelines, more massing and orientation standards for neighborhoods that perhaps have a village feel, to make sure our zoning really reinforces existing character.
But the moratorium's campaign director, Jill Stewart, says RECODE won't solve the problem of rampant zoning amendments.
You know, all due respect to the well-meaning people at RECODE, but that is a side effort that is not the general plan rewrite. It's outside of the system because the city does not want to do the legal. So RECODE can come up with all kinds of ideas, but the hierarchical prime law of the land comes from the general plan. So RECODE is great, but they're not conceiving of how much soft corruption is underway.
That was Jill Stewart. So what kicked off this moratorium fight? Let's go to Hollywood and meet Michael Weinstein. He is head of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which is located in a 22-story tower on Sunset Boulevard. His group both rents and owns property in Hollywood. But he became incensed by a project plan for the next-door site called Palladium Residences, which consists of two 28-story towers around a renovated Hollywood Palladium. The complex is designed by a noted San Francisco architect named Stanley Seitowitz. But to keep the historic concert venue, the developers sought a general plan amendment to use a backlot on the site for a tower. And with that amendment, the project could jump from an allowable 670 units to up to 100 units more. Michael Weinstein is funding the effort to stop the project.
I see these mega developments going up in Los Angeles, and they're changing the character of communities, and it's causing terrible congestion. It's exacerbating the housing problems we have by gentrifying areas and pushing people out of those areas. And it's greed. It's just unmitigated greed.
The argument that comes from the city, as well as some planners and architects, is that there's a supply and demand problem. So even by building a bunch of luxury residences, one is contributing to the greater supply of residential units. Do you buy that argument?
Well, that's the same as Reaganomics. That's the same as trickle-down economics, that somehow allowing, you know, the rich to pay less taxes and to, you know, have luxuries is going to help the rest of us. And it isn't the case. I don't know why building $3,800 a month apartments helps the homeless, helps poor people. I don't get it. It's certainly counterintuitive.
That was Michael Weinstein. We turned to the developer Crescent Heights and talked to their spokesperson, Jamara Harris. We asked, how do they feel about the firestorm that's been created by their project?
Well, I think it was a little bit of a surprise to us when you look at what's actually happening on the ground in Hollywood. You don't have a broad coalition of, you know, opponents to the project. You have 3,000 voices in support, which was built over a number of years from the very, very start. And then a small handful of activists who, for reasons that I frankly can't quite understand, continue to oppose smart growth throughout Los Angeles and maybe have their own individual reasons for having some issues with the Palladium residences. But when you look at the facts on the ground, you have a very diverse, very young, working coalition of people who are supporting this project very enthusiastically. Some of the people that you see coming out in large numbers are in their late 20s, early 30s, who work in Hollywood, work in the creative industries, work in the growing tech sector maybe, or they're, you know, public sector employees who are looking for a place where they can come and live with their families close to where they work, take transit to work, whether it's a subway, which is two blocks away from our project, or a bus line, or ride their bikes. So they're really excited about having these kinds of options to actually work in the communities where they live. Something that's being missed in this conversation as we talk about the need for more affordable housing in this crisis we're having in Los Angeles is the fact that our rents actually start in the 1200s, and most are capped out around, you know, the 2500s, which is something that's really important as we're talking about creating reasonably priced options for rent near transit.
But for $1,200, you're not going to get an apartment for a family. That would be a one bedroom, wouldn't it? Or a studio?
Yeah, it's a range.
Right. Would this frustration have been contained if you hadn't asked for the variance and you'd stuck with the 670 units? And if so, why did you need to go bigger and higher?
I certainly can't speak for anyone's individual interests right across the street. If they're going to selfishly try and protect their own view, then they're going to do that, I think, regardless of any changes you can possibly make. And we work very closely with our with all of our neighbors around the Palladium residences to be accommodating and find creative solutions. So we've worked with that, you know, historically throughout the beginning of our process. So we've been very cooperative from the start, but you're always maybe going to have one or two people for their own reasons that don't want to join the rest of their neighbors in supporting something.
So is this whole thing really about a view? Back to Michael Weinstein.
Then I could just sue them for this project. They didn't have to start a citywide movement.
So for you, it is not just about your project and your own personal...
Well, why don't they want to talk about zoning? Why do they want to talk about me? Do the mass of people in Los Angeles care about my motivations? I don't think so. Look, every single person who lives in Los Angeles knows how horrible the congestion is. So if you dump, you know, tens of thousands of people into existing communities and you don't do anything about the infrastructure, what you're going to have is you're going to have gridlock, you're going to have slower response times for ambulances and fire trucks, and that's not enhancing the quality of life.
Now, in the event you're getting the impression that Hollywood residents oppose runaway development, there are supporters of greater density. And one of them is Nick Ciardini. He's a casting director who lives in a house in the Hollywood Hills, but often finds himself defending these big projects to his neighbors.
I am right in the thick of the development area of Hollywood, and I really think it's a great thing. I don't think that there is a pace that development should go at. I don't believe that there's ever a reason to bypass opportunity to enhance a neighborhood. And when I moved into the area, Hollywood and Highland was only about a year old, and everything surrounding it was frankly horrifying, a major disappointment. I immediately started hoping that the neighborhood would change and start to redevelop itself into what I imagined it would be when I was a kid, wanting to live here. For me now to see that that is happening and has been happening over the course of a few years, I think there's nothing but good to it. And I have a really hard time understanding how anyone that lives in the area would prefer, you know, what we've had to what we are looking at having.
What I'm hearing from folks in the area is not that they're opposed to development. It's development that they see as illegal, as in developments that exceed the heights permitted by the general plan or the density. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
No, I don't think it's a fair argument at all. You know, the bottom line is we are living in a city that needs to build up. You know, some of the biggest problems that people that live in LA have is limited access, not only to housing in good areas, but also limited access to walkable streets, areas that can combine residential with retail without the need for a 30-minute commute. And what I'm seeing in these large buildings that are, you know, exceeding, I think the Palladium development is going to be, you know, 25 to 30 stories tall, I believe, or 28 stories, I think. And I look at that and I say, that to me creates opportunity, because what you're doing is you're creating an area that is more dense with residents. Those residents are then going to be able to utilize the small businesses, restaurants, cafes, shops, retail, whatever it may be. They're going to be able to utilize those things in not only a greater number, but with much greater ease. So to me, it helps not only the residents have a nicer life, but also small businesses are incentivized to not only open in that area, but succeed in that area as a result of more dense populations.
That was Nick Ciardini, casting director living in the Hollywood Hills. Coming up after this break, we'll go to a historic Hollywood building that's become something of a ghost house, and a 1950s courtyard apartment complex that may be swallowed by a colossal tower.
Santa Monica-based public radio station KCRW relies on the support of its listeners. One way to help is by donating your old car, truck, boat, or motorcycle. We'll pick up the vehicle from anywhere in the country. Put your old ride to good use and take advantage of a great tax write-off. Visit kcrw.com/cars.
Back with DNA, I'm Frances Anderton. I'm at the corner of Yucca and Argyle Streets, just a block north of Hollywood Boulevard. There, a luxury hotel is being constructed. It's a common sight in LA these days. Across the street is a 40-unit apartment complex. It was built in 1953. It's two stories high, built around courtyards, the kind that were built all over Los Angeles half a century ago. Sasha Ali and Luis Saldivar are residents.
This place is amazing. You know, it's small. I love that I open my front door and I step out into a courtyard. We're pretty tight-knit, sort of mixed income, intergenerational, multi-ethnic sort of group living here.
I was born here and I've been living in Hollywood since the days that we had prostitutes and drugs and you name it. I've been through all that in Hollywood. And now people want to come into Hollywood since it's, you know, reformed. Hollywood is becoming a vibrant community. And now all these developers want to come in and take over.
Sasha, Luis, and other residents received word in December that a real estate development company led by Bob Champion wants to build a 32-story tower in its place. An environmental impact report for the project is pending. However, current plans include 180 residential units, 260 hotel rooms, and ground-level commercial space. And the scale of development requires height and zoning changes. Currently, Sasha and other residents are paying around $1,000 per month. They don't expect the new dwellings will be anywhere near as affordable.
You shouldn't displace people who have perfectly good housing at really affordable rates for the sake of a mega complex, which there are tons of in Hollywood right now anyways.
We reached out to developer Bob Champion and he told us in an email that, quote, whatever project is built, if any, will have an affordable housing component, so no affordable housing will be lost. Second, any displaced tenants will be given the first right to relocate into the affordable component of the new project. Now, opponents of the moratorium say that however imperfect a system, the ability to get variances is essential. Bob Hale is an architect with Rios Clemente Hale Studios. That's the firm that's designing the Columbia Square project in Hollywood.
The zoning and built environment of Los Angeles is very complex, but the moratorium is like taking a sledgehammer to something that really needs to be dealt with at a much finer scale. Basically, what they're asking for as a ballot initiative involves a fundamental replanning of all of Los Angeles. And it takes away the right for landowners to try to develop their properties in any way other than how they've been historically designated. And it's going to make it so that we really are not going to be able to develop within the city of Los Angeles.
So our next site visit was to a building that is being preserved, but not for its longtime residents. In the Franklin Village neighborhood is an elegant but derelict-looking 1926 apartment building called the Villa Carlotta. Its colorful former residents include Marion Davies and gossip columnist Luella Parsons. There are 50 units in the building, but it turns out that currently 48 of them are empty.
Hello, hello. Are you?
Hi. Nice to meet you, Sylvie.
Hi. Hi. Sylvie, I'm Frances.
Frances, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Sylvie, you're living here pretty much on your own.
There's two of us left.
How does that feel?
This place feels so much like home. People always ask me that, but it's just home. So, you know, I get basically a 50-room manor that I share with one other person.
And it doesn't spook you at all?
No, I don't easily spook, I guess.
Sylvie Shane brings us upstairs and through a very quiet and empty hallway to her apartment.
This is what made me move to the city. Architecturally, it's stunning. I mean, it's mostly still original in the interiors. I mean, the beautiful beams, the high ceilings, the large French windows that let in all this light, the hardwood floors. I mean, I could take you into the kitchen. You could see the original Frigidaire icebox.
Sylvie received an eviction notice in December of 2014, and she's been fighting it ever since. The building's owner, CGI Strategies, used the Ellis Act to remove the residents. That's a 1985 state law that allows landlords to evict tenants from their rent-controlled units if they're converted to a non-rental use. CGI plans to convert the historic building to a boutique hotel.
It's actually worse than a zoning variance. They have filed for a general plan amendment. So the project doesn't even conform with the city's plan at all. And in addition to the general plan amendment, they're asking for zoning variances. There's issues with parking. The fact that it's zoned residential. I mean, there's a multitude of things they're asking for, an alcohol beverage permit. So there's a number of different entitlements that they're asking for to be able to move forward with this project. And yes, all of this with our councilman who's gone on record over and over saying that he would not be supportive of a zone change.
The councilman who represents the Franklin Village neighbourhood, David Rue, ran on the issue of transparency on his website as a statement where he pledges to refuse political contributions from developers with current or upcoming projects in LA. We reached out to him but didn't hear back. One of the things that we heard from Hollywood residents is a sense of frustration that the housing that replaces theirs is not going to people who live full-time in LA, but rather to outside investors and short-term renters. Here's Sasha Ali again.
The truth about a lot of these developments that have come up in Hollywood recently are that most of them are vacant. They are not... they're not actually even being advertised to people in Los Angeles. They're being advertised to people in New York and other metropolitan centers like San Francisco, where obviously rental rates over there are much higher than over here. But that then is impacting what's happening with rental rates over here. So it makes, again, no sense for perfectly good housing to be demolished in favor of a development that will most likely remain empty.
It's this feeling that the new development is not for regular Angelenos, whatever the mayor and planners might say, that has people from across the region showing support for the moratorium. Back to Jill Stewart, the director of the Coalition to Protect LA.
We have about 150 neighborhoods around the city, 120 neighborhoods around the city, who have immediately begun to call us to tell us what's going on in their areas way outside of zoning. They don't mind the stuff that's in zoning. Well, let's say they don't mind it. Some people hate all change, but they understand that that's the zoning. What they don't understand is how'd they get this past the city council? This is not what was supposed to be built here. We don't get what's going on.
So how does one reconcile these frustrations at an imperfect planning process with the need to build more affordable housing? Back to Dana Cuff at UCLA City Lab.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, that's for sure. I guess I would say that the basis of this feeling about the changes that have happened in LA that aren't making the city a better place to live are rightly coming from neighborhoods. And so I understand that and think neighborhoods should have a lot more participatory role in the way we think about how the city would grow and change. But then who's going to come between the neighborhoods to say, all right, neighborhood A, you don't want any high rises, and neighborhood B, you don't either, so where do they go? Where should all these new housing units that we desperately need go?
That was Dana Cuff from UCLA's City Lab. So where should the housing go? We'll be looking at options on future shows, but we'd love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts by emailing us at dna@kcrw.org, and you can also weigh in at facebook.com/kcrwdna. That's it for today's DNA. I'm Frances Anderton. The show's producer is Avishai Artsy. It was mixed by Ray Guana, and special thanks to Jason Groman. I'm Frances Anderton. Thank you very much for listening.